I want to begin with the wise words of Wendell Berry this morning, who is a farmer and poet, an observer of our social structure, a teacher, and a lover of all things in nature. Especially for this week of emotional challenge, I offer this poem, The Peace of Wild Things. When despair grows in me, and I wake in the middle of the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Resting in the grace of the world sometimes feels fairly elusive. Even finding the grace of the world can feel problematic. I want to speak for a moment, given the week we have experienced, to those of you who may have suffered abuse in your lives, for whom this time in particular may have been a reminder of our capacity to mistreat each other, for whom silence may have felt the only safe road, for whom support felt wanting, for whom resting in the grace of the world may have felt an inaccessible experience. The flip side of this dark coin of reality that we are witnessing is the light that is being cast on an old and too familiar experience, putting the tensions of the present claims aside. We are being required on a national stage to recognize our capacity for particular human failings in the light of day, and that, with all its murky, shadowy mess, can only be a good thing, despite the discomfort. May you be healed in some way by the exposed truth of your story as one of too many, and the united cry that what you have suffered is not okay. And I encourage all of you to reach out for assistance if you are struggling still. This service, as a blessing from and for our creature kingdom, which to some may feel lighthearted given our present challenges, is not an accident of timing, nor in all honesty, something to be taken too lightly after all. We have much to learn and do well to remember that there are many teachers all around us. Many of you may be aware that the Feast of St. Francis is celebrated on October 14th. October 4th this year. Does that sound familiar? St. Francis, who is known as the patron saint of animals, a 13th century monk about whom stories abound. One tale suggests that he was walking down a road with trees on either side, full of birds, and Francis asked his companions to wait while he went to preach to his sister birds, all of whom listened patiently, intrigued by the sounds of his voice. There are trees full of birds in the morning near the pool where I swim. I doubt they would listen to me the same way. St. Francis encourages us to remember our connection to all creation, how we are in relationship with each other, and to consider how to be good stewards, not just among ourselves, but to all and every living thing. And we need his reminder. I suspect times like these are important moments to step back, to reflect that as messy and complicated as our human lives can be, it is also important to think about our shared experience of life. We are imperfect and incomplete, and we are not on this earth alone, as we have witnessed so well this morning. Maybe that's why we have pets, after all, even Norman. They remind us that ours is not the only way to perceive the world, when so often we are held captive by our own needs and wants, and in our heightened sense of priority, caught up in either surviving or changing the world for ourselves. And even knowing those efforts are good and important, we forget the resource that the creature world offers us, the wisdom of the unique experiences and ways of being. I'm reminded that when we go to new puppy classes, a good trainer will explain that we are the ones actually being trained. Has anyone had that experience? If only we could hear with their ears, or see with their eyes, or smell with their noses. Imagine the world that would open to us. And even more, the gift of perspective they share that we might occasionally do well to mimic the nature of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief, what Wendell Berry shared with us. It is both blessing and curse to see forward, is it not? The creature kingdom doesn't worry about the future, as far as we know, which means they don't anticipate bad things. Squirrels, for example, apparently collect nuts out of habit, not because they know winter is coming. I only did a cursory research. I could have that a little bit wrong, but that's what I understand. So the question becomes, how are we doing this planning for our future and theirs? And I think we know that we are coming up a bit short. Research professor Brené Brown suggests that we are presently experiencing in our world a collective waiting for the proverbial next shoe to drop. Always waiting, which is making us a little crazy. I keep wondering how many shoes there are. Every time we hear the news, another one seems to be dropping. It gets in the way, she maintains, of our capacity to experience joy, or if Barry is right, to experience grace. We are too busy shielding ourselves against the next catastrophe. But the truth is, it is our responsibility to look forward. Whether we like what we imagine or not, unlike the squirrel, we do know winter is coming, among other things. There's a kind of tension we experience between imitating our creature friends by way of their gift of living in the present and caring for them and ourselves by attending to what's ahead. Oifi invited us into their world earlier. I wonder where you were most comfortable. Were you the cat in the window? Or the bearded dragon lizard content on his rock? Or were you the puppy by the fireside? I was grateful, to be honest, that she did not invite us to imagine being the cow, whose shortened life becomes our meal. Or the chicken in her cage, squeezed in with so many others that she can hardly stand. It is a hard truth to ask ourselves to imagine not only the ones we are caring for well, but the ones we are caring for perhaps less well, and how we have caused their lives to be used for our service. It sometimes feels a sad reality that all God's critters may not have a place in our choir, at least not for very long, especially when we also know the impact of our choices and how it is affecting our planet and our earth. So this is our last Sunday with vision as a theme, and I want to suggest something to all of us. I want us to think about choosing a more intentional path in our collective culinary life. And it is a function of appreciating how much we have loved the creatures among us all the time, the ones we've have named here today, as well as the ones we don't see necessarily. I'm hoping we will consider using today's reminder of how we are blessed by and how we bless the creatures in the world around us to make a commitment to sharing meals that do not include meat or fowl or fish on our plates. Just here, in our collective life together, in what we enjoy when we are together to be served food. And I wonder if that feels too radical a vision. There are many of you who may observe this in your homes already, but many, I'm sure, who don't. The question for me is how we are holding ourselves accountable to the world around us and the creatures we share this planet with, not to mention the earth itself, if we are not willing to make some hard choices on their behalf. If we imagine this community as a sanctuary of spirit and justice and art, might we also be holding ourselves in our life together to a standard that respects all creatures and the future that we are tasked for taking care of? I'm asking us to envision representing an aspiration of care as a faith community that does not judge our individual choices, but offers an alternative way of being. And it could be a learning choice for us too, inviting, for example, people who know more about the range that is available, and others who have already made their choices to teach us how to cook and eat differently. The present is never perfect. Our task as a faith community is to acknowledge the growing edges and seek together a better way, because we can look forward, and we must, on behalf of all those who roam this world differently than we do. Might we be willing to make choices that will honor us all? Something to consider this morning as we acknowledge the gift that is our relationship to all the earth's creatures. I invite you to think that over. Amen.